Hi, everybody. Praise God. It's good to see you guys. This is Stephen Martinez. Welcome to the Take the Kingdom Bible School, where we study God's Word to help you fulfill God's plan for your life. To all of you joining online and to our live studio audience. Hi. There's actually people here. I didn't just make a recording. It's really a privilege to be here with you guys and to teach the Word of God. Today's lesson is number one in our Foundations course titled Introduction to Foundations. I really had to think about that one. Today's class, as we said, is just an introduction to the first course, which is a Foundations course in our Bible school. Our school has three courses: Foundations, Knowing God, and Getting Practical. God gave me this idea a few years ago. I guess he was seeing what was going to happen. And the whole point of this, God had been revealing to us for a while that there was a revival coming, and it has come to our church. And the whole thing is God is preparing the church so that then he can reach the world. God is going to send a revival to the world. Imagine what has happened in our church, how people were touched. It was so easy. It was so automatic, instant. It wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult, the way God moved and touched so many people. But in the same way, God is going to move out there, out in the schools, out in the where the people are that don't know God. In the same way, and as easy as it was for him to move among us, he's going to do it there. But what's going to happen if we, his church, are not ready to train those people, to help them understand and know how to walk with God? That's why God is doing this revival, and he's calling us to prepare. So this whole Bible school is just an opportunity to help you prepare for what God wants to do in your life, how he wants to use you in the upcoming move of God, which is going to be the great move of God to win as many souls as possible before he returns, which is very soon. The theme of today's introductory lesson is that we need to lay a good foundation in our lives based on the principles of the doctrine of Christ. No amount of revival or spiritual or emotional experiences can take the place of laying this foundation in our lives. Okay? Yes, God has done great things. Many people have received the Holy Spirit, been touched by God in amazing ways. But that in no way takes the place of laying a foundation in your life. And that's what we want to do through this whole Bible school, specifically the course. So if you do not have this foundation, everything else in your Christian life will be crippled. Think about it. If a child doesn't learn the ABCs, he's never going to learn to read. And so God wants to take us there. There's been revivals in our church before. I remember in the 90s, mid-90s, late 90s, God was moving so powerfully in our church, once again, among the youth. Lots of people received the Holy Spirit. Lots of people were having experiences with God being touched. I remember in our church, everyone that was there received the Holy Spirit at one point. And that happened in several churches. But as far as the follow-up, did we really learn to walk with God? Did we really have the foundation we needed? I say that we could have done better. And that's what God wants to do through this Bible school, is to help lay that foundation so that what happened the last time won't happen again, because it can. This whole revival can fade away. We can lose all the results of it. We can lose everything. It can just die. That's something I've learned. God does and moves in sovereign ways, but whether you're part of it or not, it depends on you, okay? Before I begin, I just want to encourage you to check out the rest of the website, takethekingdom.com. It has a plan that God revealed to me, which is just in his word, about how to stay on fire for God. It's about getting together in groups of believers, close-knit community that support each other. And of course, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you should seek that so that everything we're going to talk about makes total sense to you. And so you can really take a hold of it and use it in your life. What is revival for? God showed me this. People think that revival, you know, is the one thing we want. We've been praying for it. In our church, we were praying for it. We knew it was coming. We were praying for it. But the question was, are we ready for revival? And what is revival for? And God showed me that revival is not the end all be all. You know, it's what we want. We want revival. Once we got revival, woo, we got what we want. No, that's not the point. God wants to send revival to just prepare you, to give you like a boost, okay? So that then you can start preparing yourself and seeking God to take the church where he wants you to go. It's like training wheels on a bicycle. When you're a little kid, you can't balance yourself. But God is saying, look, I'm going to send this revival, put some training wheels on the bike. So that all you people who couldn't balance can at least get on the bike so you can get some practice, you know, so you can get used to riding a bike, so you can develop that balance, so you can develop the strength, because there's a, you know, a race coming, the Tour de France or whatever. And you're going to have to race. And everybody's going to have to be in the race in these end times. It's coming. But God is saying, I'm going to send this revival. I'm going to give you a chance to catch up and to get ready. It's also like floaties. You know, the little kids, you put the little floaties on their arms and they start to float in the pool. What's the point of the floaties? So they'll learn how to float? No. The point of the floaties is so they'll learn how to swim eventually. You know, you don't want to see a 30-year-old with floaties in the pool. Ooh, mommy. That's ridiculous. God is saying, look, I'm sending the revival. I'm sending the floaties. I'm sending the training wheels. But the point is not to learn how to ride with training wheels or depend on revival. The point is to take advantage of this opportunity so that when the training wheels come off and the floaties come off and you got to swim, because we're all going to have to soon, so you'll be ready. This is an opportunity. So this is for everybody. If you take advantage of this, God is going to use you. God is going to bless you in these end times. So I want to talk about receiving the Holy Spirit. A lot of people, they think, again, the Holy Spirit is kind of like the final step. I received the Holy Spirit. And we've learned that's not the truth. The Holy Spirit is just the beginning. I liken it to receiving a weapon, a very powerful weapon. You've been drafted into the army of God. Every believer is in the army of God. But until you receive the Holy Spirit, you don't really have the ultimate weapon. And God wants all his children to have the ultimate weapon. But you know what? The devil is not scared of believers with the ultimate weapon. He's really not scared of them. Because if you're not trained, if you're not educated, you're not disciplined, you're not committed, you're not courageous, you're not obedient to your captain, what are you going to do? You're probably going to blow your leg off or shoot one of your friends, you know, friendly fire, or just draw attention to yourself and get yourself killed. So the devil's not really worried about the people who have the Holy Spirit. He's worried about the people that have a good foundation in the Word of God, that know how to walk in the Spirit. Those are the people that scare him. And we want to be those people. We want to be the people that keep the devil up at night. I don't know if he sleeps, but hopefully we can keep him up by the grace of God. So I want to look at a scripture that shows us that we need a really good foundation. It's in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So here Jesus is saying, you need to lay a foundation. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. So the foundation is doing what he said. Okay? And what we want to discover in this specific course is, what are the foundational teachings of Christ? Of all the teachings, there are certain that he literally specifically said, these are the foundation. Okay, we want to go into those. So it's so important to get a good foundation. For example, if you're an artist or a professional of some sort, I used to work with my uncle Tony doing odd jobs, and he was laying tile. When you're an apprentice of a person like that, the first thing you learn is just the menial tasks, the stuff you don't really want to do. You want to be creative. You want to create this beautiful picture, you know, just tiles and all sorts of angles and weird things. But you're not ready if you don't even know how to mix the mortar. If you don't know how to hold that thing, I don't know what it's called. If you know, there's a lot of things you got to learn first. And these are the foundations. If you never learn to mix the mortar right, doesn't matter what you try to do. It's going to be trash. It's going to break. It's not going to be any good. What about a kid in elementary school? What's the first thing he learns? You know, ABC, cat, bat, hat, 1, 2, 3. Those are the things he learns first. If you're training a dog to be a rescue dog or something, what's the first thing you train him to do? All right, let's get on the helicopter. There's somebody drowning. Throw him out. You just killed the dog. And probably the person too. It's no point. You got to start with sit, stay, sit, stay, go. You know, stuff like that. The basics. Once he's got that down, then you can start teaching him more stuff. So God is saying, I want to teach you a foundation. I want to lay a foundation in your life. So we have to grow in our salvation. And it all depends on the foundation you have. Think about a tree. When it's in the developmental stage, when a little tree is growing, I used to do bonsai a little bit. My cousin Kimmel did it a whole lot more. But when the tree is young, you can tie a little wire around the branches, and then you bend it. And that little tiny wire bends the whole branch because it's really small, it's really tender, it's new. But when it grows, you take the wire off and it stays there. And once that tree's big, I mean, there's nothing you could do to make that branch go back. Because when it was in the beginning stages, you molded it. So God wants us to lay a good foundation for our lives. So in the long run, we can grow into big trees that look pretty, not all crooked. So what happens if you have a bad foundation? And I heard this on the radio this morning. I was hearing a preacher, and he was saying that most sins are a superficial symptom of a deeper issue in the foundation of your life. I was reading or hearing a story, actually, that Esley sent me, a little video. A huge skyscraper in New York, it developed a crack around the 42nd floor out in the wall. And they got really worried, and they started calling around, and they called an architect, and they told him, you know, come out here. He said, I can be there Monday. And he said, okay. So Monday morning, the manager of the building comes in, hey, where's the architect, you know? And he ran up to this 42nd floor to look for the architect that had already arrived. He was looking everywhere. He couldn't find the guy. And he asked around, you know, where's the architect? Oh, he's not up here. He's down in the sixth basement. He said, what is he doing down there? So he takes the elevator all the way down, finds the guy. He's like, what are you doing here? He said, well, you have a problem on the 42nd floor, but the root of the problem is down here. And in that case, what they discovered is that one of the maintenance guys wanted to make himself a little apartment down in the basement where nobody ever went. So he was taking a brick out every day, putting it in his bag and taking it home and throwing away a brick. So he was actually weakening the foundation little by little, and it was causing a crack in the 42nd floor. And the architect knew where the problem was. So the same thing, if you look at your life and you see situations, cracks per se, in your walls, above your doors, you're seeing problems. All your pictures on your walls are kind of crooked and you don't know what's happening. There's probably a problem in the foundation. Maybe you keep painting it over, filling it in, and it keeps coming back. There's probably a problem in the foundation. And God is saying, I want to lay a good foundation. That's what happens when you have a bad foundation. So it's never too late to fix the foundation. If you need to, tear down part of the house. Because if you leave that problem there, it's going to ruin your whole house. You know, I remember one time I was in a conference in Miami, and I was sitting there in church, and I was telling God, change everything that I am. Because I was starting to see, when God starts to show you things, the first thing you start to realize is that you're not as good as you thought. And then you have a lot more problems than you thought you did. And God was showing me all these things. And I said, God, take everything that I built, because I thought I was, you know, had really built myself up to be something. Tear it all down. You know, start from scratch and create me anew. And sometimes we have to ask God that. God, I'm willing to work on the foundation. Get down there in the basement where it stinks, where it's dirty, where there's rats, where we don't really want to go, and work on that. Even if it takes time, we got to stay there and we got to fix the foundation. So what happens if you have a good foundation? Here's the good news. In summary, the Christian life gets a lot easier. It's still hard, but it's a lot more doable. For example, maybe you've heard that Asian people are really good at math. I mean, I've heard that stereotype. Maybe you have heard a stereotype. Yes. Turns out it's scientifically proven they are good at math. They are better than everybody else. They've done tests, like international tests, and the top five are all Asian countries. And the top 10, they're like 8 out of 10 are Asian countries. Why are Asians so good at math? Somebody actually took the time to research this. Awesome. Taxpayer money goes into this type of research, which is really good. So our brain is programmed to store numbers in a repetitive loop that lasts for only a short period of time. Chinese speakers are able to fit these seven numbers into a really small amount of time because their language, their numbers, are really short. They're written very short and they're spoken very short. Shorter than, you know, seven. Really long word in your brain, seven. In Chinese is like two letters or one letter. It's really, really short. So a Chinese can actually memorize or keep more numbers in their brain at one time. So they're actually better at memorizing things. And they get a head start in math. Another thing they discovered, Asian children learn to count faster because of this linguistic situation than English-speaking children. They learn to count at least a year before on a regular basis because of just the language. So on top of that, their counting system is a logical counting system. For example, in Chinese, 20, which to us is like a word, 20 spelled out. In Chinese, 20 is 2/10. That's the way you say it, 2/10. So imagine you're trying to teach a kid how to add 2/10 plus 3/10, 5/10, super easy. Tell a kid in English, 20 plus 30, 22, 30. You know, it's a lot more difficult. So their language just makes it a lot easier. Another thing they discovered is that Asian cultures are based around the growing of rice. So another great point that this author discovered is that the culture with a history of rice cultivation is also very high in levels of diligence. You know, they stick to it. They try hard, and which is something you have to have when you're going to do algebra, which I never had. And so it's just built in. For example, rice is very labor intensive. On plots far smaller than corn or wheat, for example, rice farmers have been forced to increase yields by being smarter and innovative. Working in a rice field is 10 to 20 times more labor intensive than working on an equivalent size corn or wheat field. 10 or 20 times. And another thing is, wheat and corn, which is a traditional Western type of crop, you work a lot during the spring, you know, maybe late winter. And then during the summer, you just let it grow. And then during the winter, you're just hibernating. But they have to work year round on those things to get it to produce. So that sort of thing makes them better at learning math. What does this have to do with laying a foundation in your Christian life? When you see people that are walking with Christ, it's not a mystery. They've got a good foundation. It's like Asian people. Why are they so good at math? There's a reason. It's not just a coincidence. There's a reason. And maybe you don't know what the reason is, but there's a reason. And God wants to give you the foundation so that anybody can walk with God in holiness, you know, in the power of God, in the faith of God, consistently. They can if they lay the correct foundation. Praise God. So before we talk about what the foundations are, let's see what the foundations are not. Here's one that they're not. Emotional experiences are not a foundation. We've had a lot of emotional experiences, especially in this whole revival. We've had experiences with God, with the Holy Spirit. We've seen things we've never seen before, felt things we've never felt before. But that is not a foundation on which to build a life. It's not. That's not going to carry you. That's not going to hold your house steady when the storms come. It's just not. Experiences, what do experiences do? Experiences are like a snapshot into the future, into what can be, into what is there in the presence of God, so that you can be encouraged to continue and know what you're aiming for. Okay? That is what these experiences are. It's like looking at a catalog of a home builder. You want to build a house, you got a plot of land. You don't go to the architect, hey, show me some nice blueprints. Here, you roll them out. Oh, this house is amazing. Most of us will look at the blueprints and be like, what is this? Unless you're like an amazing architect or somebody that knows about that. You just look at a catalog that has pictures of the finished product. It's very pretty. Oh, I like that house. 2-car garage. I like it. You know, it has this and that. It makes sense to you. That's what these experiences with God are, in part. The finished product. A glimpse. Okay? We see God through a glass darkly, through a veil. And God shows us his glory that way, time to time. But you can't build a house on that. Imagine, okay, I'm going to build a house on my land. Here's a picture from the catalog. Let me put it here. Perfect. We're ready to go. That's ridiculous. It's not going to work. You need to build a foundation. It's important to keep us motivated and knowing what to look for. For example, if a guy starts building something off to the side of your house, start looking at the picture. Hey, man, this side of the house just has a flat wall from front to back. What are you doing there? Oh, I'm sorry. I had the wrong plans. Thank goodness. We figured that out before, you know, you kept building whatever you were building there. Check your life. If your life is not up to the standard of those moments in the presence of God, you're probably off track. But don't base your life on those moments. The foundation is found in his word. So emotions come and go, especially if you don't have a good foundation. So you can't trust them. So what are the foundations? And this is great. Ta-da moment. There's 6 teachings of Christ, specific teachings, which are called the foundations, literally, in Hebrews 6:1-3. They can be found there. Hebrews 6:1-3. Now, as you look it up, Hebrews 6:1, just keep in mind, doctrine equals teaching. Okay, so when it says the principles of the doctrine of Christ, it means the principles, the beginning of the teaching of Christ. So think about Jesus picking up his disciples. Day number one, this is what he's teaching them. These are the first things of the teachings of Christ. Hebrews 6:1-3, it says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So he's actually not talking about the principles, but in the process of telling you that you need to move on, he tells you what they are, which is really helpful. So it says, not laying again the foundation. What's the foundation? He's about to tell you. There's six teachings which are the foundation of the doctrine, the teachings of Jesus. The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and a resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Those six are literally the principles of the doctrine of Christ. They are the foundation on which any new believer should be laying a solid foundation. Now you might think, well, I already know all that stuff. Well, that's the problem. We think we know, but there's so much that we don't understand. There's so much depth, so much, you know, hidden things of God that we need to learn and discover. There's misconceptions we have about repentance that can really impede you. There's misconceptions about faith that can really impede you in your walk with God. The doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands. There's these really important things that there's a lot for us to learn and a lot for us to do in this. So, how do we make a foundation for our life? I know it's these teachings, right? How do I make them a foundation of my life? How does that even happen? Well, how do you make a foundation for a house? You pour a whole bunch of concrete and make a, I mean, if you're making like a slab foundation, tons of concrete, huge, heavy, immovable thing that's there, and then you can build a house on it. So it's something that's strong enough to support the house and won't ever move. So in your life, these six teachings become a foundation when you constantly do these six things. Constantly. When you know them and you know how to do them, knowing what they are and what they are not, and you do them constantly, constantly. That's what creates a foundation in a life. I can't just come into your life, hey, open up, pour in some concrete. Okay, there you go. You're good. It's something you do every day. Think about the concrete in your life. It's going to be the things that you do constantly. Think about those things, those habits, those constant, you brush your teeth, hopefully, you get dressed, you do all these things constantly. They're a habit. They're like a foundation of your life. Okay, I go to sleep at night and everything else revolves around that. I got to be in bed by 10, you know, so I plan out my schedule so I'm there by 10. So the consistent things in your life, that's the foundation of your life. So God wants you to do this consistently. So when do you stop needing the foundation? All right, boys, the house is finished. Looks great. Pull her out. Just pull out the foundation. What's going to happen? It's going to fall down. Okay, we've had this house for 10 years. Foundation has really helped this house stay up. You know what? I think this house is ready to stand on its own. Let's just take out the foundation. Can't do it. You'll ruin the entire house. So repentance is not something you did once. I repented once. I repented when I was waiting on the Holy Spirit. It's something you have to do constantly. It has to be there, part of your life, constantly. Faith, you have to live by faith constantly, every day. You know, you wake up in the morning by faith. You brush your teeth in faith. You're constantly believing in God. He's the most real thing to you every moment of your life. That's when it has become a foundation. All these things, these six things have to be a foundation to you for you to be able to, you know, be solid with the Lord on that rock, which is the Word of God. You need to learn how to repent, repent right, repent constantly. Faith, the same thing, etc., etc. That's how you make a foundation in your life. So, last point. This went by pretty quick. You must have the right goal in mind before you begin laying a foundation. For example, okay, guys, we're making a building. Oh, great, a building. Let's just make a you know, 3 foot deep foundation. You don't even know what building I'm going to build. If I want to build a skyscraper, 3 feet deep is not going to work. And the devil wants you to lose focus of what you're actually trying to build. He tries to water down that idea of the relationship, the life with God. He tries to water it down in your life and tell you, no, 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 no. It's okay if you do this and that. It's okay if you hang out with these folks. It's okay if you don't face this issue in your life. You know, it's okay. You can keep listening to this. You can keep. And he tries to water down the image. Yeah, yeah, my life with Christ is this thing, which I think it's good enough. But it's not what God has shown you in those moments with him. It's not what God has shown you in his word. So if you have the wrong image in your mind, in your heart, of where you're shooting for, the building God wants to make, then you're not going to take this very seriously about making a foundation. The devil can sidetrack you very easily, get you to compromise. But you need to realize your goal is holiness so that I can get near to God. Without holiness, none shall see the Lord. And the more holiness you got, the closer you can get to God, the more of him you can get. And like God says in his word, when he was speaking to the children of Israel, he says, your sins has made a separation between you and me. So sin and all the little ones and the big ones, they all make some sort of separation. And we don't want that. We want holiness so that we can get closer to God. That's it. That's the only thing I want. I want to get closer to God. And I want holiness so I can have that. That needs to be your focus, your goal when you start laying the foundation. So stay committed to the goal no matter what. Sadly, there's times where people feel like they blew it. People feel like they're empty. They don't feel like they are where they should be. So they throw the goal out the window. They throw the plan out. They say, oh, whatever, I'll just settle for this. Or there's times where you could have fought the fight a little longer. You could have prayed a little more. You could have kept seeking God. You could have, but you said, eh, whatever. Those whatever are devastating. Those little moments where you say, whatever, they're so huge in heaven. They're so huge. You know, the things in God's eyes, the things in heaven that we think are so small, they are the huge things, the inner things. And the things that we think are so big, the external things that we see, they're tiny in heaven. So how many times have we said, whatever, I'll do this anyways. I'll go here anyways. I'll spend my time like this anyways. When you could have, you know, taken the challenge of the Holy Spirit in that moment, speaking to you. So guys, don't lose focus of where we're going, okay? And this is something amazing that I found. It kind of explains the whole phenomenon in New York, why there's so many big buildings in New York. It has to do with what's under the ground. The rise in the bedrock beneath the surface of Manhattan, you know, how high, how soon you hit that solid rock under the ground, is what created its elongated shape at the mouth of the Hudson rather than eroding into the Delta. Additionally, it's made the construction of the New York skyline financially possible. What they're saying is when they started digging in New York, they hit rock really fast. Solid slab of rock. And they were really happy. Because since they had such a solid bunch of rock right there, they didn't have to spend too much money digging down, and they could spend that money building up. That's why they were able to build so many huge buildings in New York, because it was financially possible, because they didn't have to spend so much digging down. So God is telling you, think about how high God wants you to go. Think about the solid foundation he has given you. And God is going to bless you. God is going to help you as you seek him through his word. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.